You are the best friend, the ideal friend we can't imagine. We can trust You with our secrets. We can trust You when You need to move on our behalf. And we bless You, Lord. And I guess You always need to move on our behalf, because without You, we are nothing. We are nothing. Your word says, I used to quote until about 2 months ago, when I am weak, You are strong. But it says, when I am weak, I am strong. Father, we recognize our helplessness without You, and we thank You. We thank You for the opportunity even to come together and to raise a hallelujah in the midst of a storm, Lord God. Father, we have private storms. We have family storms. We have body of Christ storms. You didn't deny that. You warned us that these things would happen. And one of my favorite scriptures that Jesus spoke to His disciples at the end, these things I've spoken unto you, that in Me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we pray, Father, that we would rest in the stronghold of Your presence and watch You move in every area of our lives. We thank You and we bless You, Lord. Father, we're missing a few this morning, and we don't want to overlook that. We pray for our sweet Luann, Lord, who's just had a tough month and had a touch of vertigo this morning, maybe more than a touch. But Father, we pray. We pray for that You would heal that vertigo, any leftover symptoms from her month of coughing and sickness. And God, Your hand is not shortened. We pray for a complete healing, Father, in Luann's body, in Jesus' name. We pray for our sister Kate, who is awaiting surgery around Thanksgiving and has been told to stay still so that hip does not come out again. And we thank You for her, and we just would pray that You would be with her during this time of waiting, and that the surgery would be successful beyond measure, Lord. Father, we pray for Carl Dandridge's family. One of his girls has been diagnosed with COVID. And Father, I thank You that teenagers, we're just expecting that she's going to come through this by Your grace and by Your mercy, Father God. And Father, what the enemy would mean for evil, Father, we just would pray that You would draw this family closer together as they're quarantining for some time. And just bless. We miss our brother Carl. Someone clapped and somebody turned around like, oh, Carl's here. And Father, You know. And we miss our brother, Father God, and we pray there would be a day that he'd be in this church with his whole family, Lord God. We bless You. We pray for, I promised someone I would pray also. I pray for Bob Baker, a brother from Alfred who's in the hospital, Lord God, and is high risk. And God, improve his oxygen. Give the family wisdom. Give the family wisdom in his treatment, I pray, oh God. There's a few others, Lord God, and we just would pray that You would show Yourself strong. You're bigger than COVID, Lord God, and we believe You're on the move in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, announcements. Monday, as usual, men's Bible study. All men are invited. Prayer meeting this week, because our sister Kate can't get out, and she's a faithful Wednesday night gal. She asked that we're going to have it at her house. So any of you who would like to come, Kate needs to know where Kate lives, let us know. But she's in Belmont, and we're going to join her for prayer on Wednesday night at her house. Okay. Tonight is the Arise that we had down at York's Corners, a similar type of thing taken from Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come upon you and the glory of God has come upon you. And then that's so exciting. And then it goes, next line is, darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people. Well, we might be there, folks, but God is bigger. God is bigger, and I think the body of Christ and anyone we might bring along with us will be encouraged tonight at Tenure Camp at 6:30. And you go all the way through up to that big building that's on the hill at Penn York. Okay, next Sunday is Missions March for Ramahome, and at 6 p.m. the Thanksgiving service will be the ecumenical, or the every church is invited at the Methodist Church. And our women's, that this isn't in the bulletin because we made plans after the bulletin was printed, but Saturday, December 4th at 10 a.m., the women's holiday brunch will be held at Shea Reagan's house, and her address will be printed next week if anybody needs that. And that's something we always invite people to, and it's always a blessing. And so invite your friends and your relatives. Come, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back, okay? And that, those are the announcements. Thank you.
As we were worshiping today, that we were singing the song about our salvation, and I got thinking, we all have a testimony to the day of our salvation. I bet if we were to ask every one of you, you could tell us the day you gave your heart to the Lord and he changed your life. And it would be different for every one of us, but it's still a story, it's in our heart, and we share that. But lots of times, most of the time, it takes somebody to introduce you to the Lord. It did me. It didn't just happen. Somebody introduced me. And through a series of events, I came to know the Lord, but it took somebody to reach out there and touch me. And that is what our shoeboxes represent. We're reaching out from here to someplace in the world, to millions and millions of kids. So just be encouraged that you are the one that are sharing with somebody else. And that is the call of the Great Commission. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity for us. You can bring them on up. Bring them all up. Are they filled?
Yeah.
Okay, bring them up. Because we don't want to miss any one of the boxes. We're going to pray a blessing over them. So I just think it would be interesting someday when we get to heaven and children come up to us and say, you introduced me to the Lord. I got your shoebox. And I got a shoebox, and guess what? I'm saved. And my family got saved. Now, how awesome is that? We don't need to know here on earth, but I think in heaven we might be enlightened. We might get to know. So let's just pray over the shoeboxes. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you have given us this wonderful, wonderful opportunity, Lord, to spread your word throughout the world. And we're fulfilling the Great Commission right here in little old Wellsville, Lord. And that is a blessing beyond my imagination, that we can have an effect, Lord, on the kingdom of heaven. I would pray that you take and bless each one of these boxes. I pray that you would bless the child that gets each and every one of these. You would open up their heart to receive your word that's going to be in the box. And, Lord, that this would be a life-changing thing for each and every child that gets a box. I would pray that you would keep these boxes safe, get them to the proper place safely. Bless all the hands that are out there working on these boxes to get them put together, packaged and sent by camels and boats and elephants and whatever it takes to get them there, Lord. And even in these hard-to-reach countries where you just can't get the word in there, Jesus, you're getting the word in there through these boxes. That in itself is a miracle. Get those boxes in there, Lord, into the safe hands of these children. And we just thank you once again that we are blessed enough to be able to bless somebody else. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Kathy, thank you for all of your work, for putting this together. We sure appreciate it. When she prayed, God, get those boxes wherever they need to go, whether it's by elephant or camel, she wasn't kidding. They literally take those things into some of these places by camels. it's the only way you can reach there. The outreach of this thing is just beyond what I can imagine. But when we saw the video here a few weeks ago, I remember seeing there were pictures of those boxes being transported in all kinds of ways and getting them to the most remote places. But you know, when somebody gets a box and they can open the box, some child somewhere opens that box and they find out that somebody somewhere else loves them and sent them a gift, and the whole community sees that, glory to God. Glory to God. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful effort by the body of Christ. And it's the body of Christ come together to do that, because that's not one church. That's not one organization. It's Samaritan's Purse, but it's fueled and supported by the body of Christ. Glory to God. And it's a wonderful thing. And the thought of those kids getting all those boxes and opening them, they get them all together and they count to three, and these kids just go crazy. And some of them are in rundown, ramshackle houses, but they have these beautiful presents. And some of them have never received a present in their life. And then they get a little note in there that says that Jesus loves you. And then some of them receive a Bible study, because Samaritan's Purse doesn't just give them gifts so they can have a nice time. They give it with the idea of sharing the gospel. They want the people to hear about Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful creative thing. And in this day, we really need creative ideas inspired by the Holy Spirit to do that. I wanted to bring up one other thing. Some of you have known our brother Dick Peck. He attends the Riverside Assembly of God, but he attended here years and years ago for a time, and they've been part of the church there. Very, very seriously ill in the hospital with COVID, and I've been receiving communications from them, and just they put him on the list. The end of life visitation list. They said he's not going to live, and they had a prayer vigil for him. We've been praying. We prayed Wednesday night. They had a prayer vigil for him at Riverside Assembly. They just began praying for this man, and I read a text from Marty Brundage, another guy that some of you know that attends Riverside, said. They've been fighting to get him ivermectin, and there's been all kinds of roadblocks to him getting different medications. Tried this, lawyer got it approved, and then the judge said, well, you can't, and then this, and back and forth. It's just been a nightmare for the family. And the Lord spoke to his daughter Lisa and said, forget about the ivermectin, I'm going to help him. Amen. It's not his time. And yesterday, I got a text that said he had been on 100% oxygen. He could barely breathe. They stepped him down to 90% oxygen, and he was tolerating that. They took his name off the end-of-life visitation list, and they think that he's going to make it. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. That is God. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that Dick would emerge from the hospital with such a testimony of your healing power, God, that it'll be a testimony to every nurse and every doctor in that hospital that you did it, God, that you're able, and that God's people prayed and the hand of God moved. Father, in Jesus' name, give him a complete recovery, we pray. Strengthen him today in the hospital. Continue to cause him to gain and grow in strength. Father, we thank you that you are a miracle-working God. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Oh, that was just too good a testimony not to share. He's not out of the woods yet. Keep praying for him. He needs to get better. He needs his strength. But God is at work. But God. But God. God can do it. And I just make mention, we are going to meet at Kate Rulison's on Wednesday night for prayer. 5 Maple Street. We'll send it around in an information chain as well. But 5 Maple Street in Belmont is her home. And she says, come as you are, because I'm going to be as I am. I said, now, Kate, we don't want you to rush around or try to clean your house or anything. We know she just, I can't do that. So she said, just come in, pull up a chair, and just the way it is. But, you know, in the scriptures, they met from house to house. And they prayed and they shared. And so why not? So, and our sister's been faithful. So if you can come Wednesday night, come and bring some joy to Kate's house. It'll be great. I have one other issue I want to bring to you. I am not a political activist, and I don't normally do this from the pulpit. But our town and our village are considering opting into being able to issue permits and create distribution and consumption areas for marijuana, not medical marijuana, free-for-all marijuana. When I say free-for-all, it doesn't mean it's free, but it's going to be a free-for-all. They want to open them on Main Street in Wellsville. They'd like to open one next to Burger King on Bolivar Road. They'd like to open one on Andover Road. And all in the name of revenue. They're willing to sacrifice families, people, community, all of that in the name of revenue to bring in more stuff that we don't need. I was at a town meeting the past Monday, and I was one of the few voices in opposition to this, and there are some people who are fairly well-spoken and others who are not, all voicing their support to bring this in. And I want to ask you, I have copied off the names of all of our town board members, town planning board members, and Wellsville Village board members. I want to encourage you, their email addresses and a lot of their phone numbers are here. Would you consider sending them an email, calling their offices? They need to hear from the Christian community. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, says 1 in 10 people who use marijuana will become addicted. 1 in 6 people will become addicted if they start before age 18. The SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration of the United States, says studies link marijuana use to depression, anxiety, suicide planning, and psychotic episodes. People who drive under the influence of marijuana will have slower reactions, lane weaving, decreased coordination, and difficulty reacting to signals and sounds on the road. Marijuana use during pregnancy can cause fetal growth restrictions, premature birth, stillbirth, problems with brain development resulting in hyperactivity and poor cognitive function. Research shows that people who use marijuana are more likely to have relationship problems, worse educational outcomes, lower career achievement, and reduced life satisfaction. I printed off a little fact sheet. When you communicate to them, you might want to communicate some of those concerns. The night of the meeting, there were arguments that came out that said, well, alcohol is so much worse and they sell alcohol in every store. Why can't we have this? And in my mind, I say, why would you want to add this on top of something else that's already bad? Why do we want more? There's lots of good, healthy ways to stimulate our economy without bringing in more drugs. You talk to the Wellsville Police Department, they're already swamped with drug problems. We don't need this. So I'm going to ask you to please pray, and then consider letting your officials know how you feel about that. Now, ultimately, voting this down is not going to bring the kingdom of God. People need Jesus. But we cannot afford to lose any more ground, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot afford to yield more ground. Ed, would you mind helping pass some of these out? Thank you. And somebody else. Eric, would you? Thank you. And I hope I copied off enough. If not, I'm happy to copy off some more. But please let them know the famous quote that says, the only thing that will allow evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And it's important for us to stand for what's right and what's good. And this is something that's right and something that's good, and we need to stand up and say, hey, we don't agree. Thank you, Father. I hope it's on.
Hello. So while they're passing it out, I'm going to share my brief testimony from today. I have been at my sister's. So two things. Number one, I've been struggling with a cold for this time on week three, and today I woke up just wanting to go home and sleep. So I've been at my sister's, and regularly I come from my sister's who lives in Avon, and I usually listen to my daughter's church from Ohio, because they have a 9 o'clock service, which is as I'm traveling. So I listen live, and it's called Christ Community Chapel. And since I listen to it often enough, those of you who use Google, you know, if you begin typing in something that you type in all the time, it shows up. And so this morning I'm driving and type in CC, and it comes up Brockport. So I'm like, Lene, stop being stupid, pull over. Because usually, you know, you type in two letters and there it is. You click on it, it's gone. And it comes up Christ Community Chapel of Brockport. I'm like, I don't want that one. So I click out of that, and I click back onto, so I type in the whole thing, Hudson, Ohio, and it says that the live stream isn't available because of an error. And I'm like, no, this is a huge church. It's like 4,000 people. They have 5 services. They have 4 campuses across this very, very wealthy, the wealthiest section in Ohio, it was called, the wealthiest state or city. And they had already had an 8:30 service. So I'm like, how on earth do they not have a live service? This has got to be wrong. You know, this is a 9 o'clock service. They should have figured it out. So I type it in again, and it comes up. And as I'm driving, now I'm planning to do this in place of my service today. I'm planning not to come to church. I'm planning to go home and sleep. And the first stuff that they start talking about was this pastor heading to church, and I didn't recognize the name, but they're a big enough church, I don't always recognize the speaker's name. So he's coming to church, and he was having a day where he didn't really feel like coming to church, but he's on his way, and he's passing all these houses, and they're dark, and he's thinking, you know, what other priorities people have, and not in a judgmental way, but then his service was from Philippians. So actually, I should say, as I'm looking through, since I can't get a live service, I'm looking through and I find a series on Philippians, and I think, oh, well, that'll be good. So I start that off, and he begins sharing, and he talks, and it was on Philippians 1 and comfort, and not choosing comfort, our own comforts and our own happiness, and what appetites do we have, and choosing them. And, you know, here I'm like, God, you really want me to go to church today instead of doing the comfortable thing, which would be going home and taking a nap, which, by the way, I will be doing at noon. But so God really used this and spoke to me. And then as he's talking, he mentions, you know, how Philippi was the place to go in that area, kind of like on a Friday night we might go to Greece or Victor. And I'm like, what? And it turns out I was listening to the Brockport one. So I'm going to be interested to find out whether or not Christ Community Chapel in Hudson was really off, or if God really wanted me to hear this. Oh, and another thing. This was from April of this year. It turns out later I'm listening and finding out. So, you know, how you never know how God is going to use crazy things like not being able to find it as you're flipping through it really quickly as you're driving, which, by the way, is a bad idea. Bad idea.
Amen. Amen. All right. Ed, I'm going to call on you again, if you would, and Eric. We need to have our offering this morning. And last week, your very intelligent and well-trained pastor forgot to even take the offering. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God. Thank you for what you have helped us with. And Father, as we give, we trust that you will use that to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been teaching for some time on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And last week we spent some time looking in the scriptures. If you're attending a full gospel church, you probably know a lot. I'm not convincing you of something new, but I want us to have a line-upon-line understanding of why the gifts of the Spirit are for today, why they have not passed away, and be able to understand it and articulate it from the Scriptures. Be able to share with somebody else why we believe, we're not a cessationist, why we believe that the power of God is for today. And we've been through all of the, pretty much all of the gifts of the Spirit. We looked last week. I saved the most controversial one for the end, speaking in tongues, which people will there's always lively debate about the concept of speaking in tongues. But in the early church experienced speaking in tongues all the time. All the time. Go ahead, Adam. Acts 2, 1 through 4. I'm just going to march through the narratives in Acts where we see it appear. None of these scriptures are probably new to most of you, but let's examine each of them. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the promise that Jesus had told them in Acts chapter 1. Go and wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It was the promise. They waited for it. It came. In this day, we have the promise that in the last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit. We have that promise, and it's going to come. It's going to come, saints. There is a move up, and I don't want to try to prophesy it, but it's in my bones. There is a move of the Spirit of God coming. God is going to do something wonderful, and by the power of His Spirit, people are going to know that there is a God in heaven, and it's coming. It's coming just as sure as Jesus said, wait until you be endued. That day is coming. Every single word that God said is true. My wife keeps coming to me. She came to me again this morning and with all these videos she's watching on YouTube about Noah's Ark. You know, it's like, oh, will they ever find it? They found Noah's Ark like thousands of years ago. She told me this morning, Josephus, the Jewish scholar, wrote about Noah's Ark. The village where it was actually had a tourist industry. People would come there so that they could go and see the Ark. And they've had archaeologists come. They've had scientists go. They've taken scans. They've proved it. But nobody in the scientific community wants to admit it because it would say that the Bible is true. You know what? The flood happened. The ark happened. God said to Noah, I'm coming, I'm going to rain, and I want, rain is coming, and I want you to build the ark for the saving of your family and the animals. And it happened. It happened. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is coming, and it happened. And in our day, I believe we're going to see a move of the Spirit of God again. And Jesus is coming. And He's going to come. And people, like the Scripture says, where is His coming? When will He come? And they're going to cast off their restraint. But the day is going to come. Jesus is going to return. Do we know when? I don't know when. I know He is. I think it would be really cool if He comes in my lifetime. I don't know if He's going to or not. I have no guarantee, but I know that He's coming.
Amen.
And whether I go to Him or He comes to me, oh, glory to God. But there is a move of the Spirit. And in this day and in this age, God is calling the church to come together and to believe Him for miracles. Believe Him to move in the power of His Spirit. Acts chapter 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard his message. This was in the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. All the circumcised believers, that means the Jews, who had accompanied Peter, who weren't even supposed to be in a Jewish home, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and exalting God. Now, if I was God, I wouldn't have picked speaking in tongues because I think it's kind of freaky. Well, I'm not God. That's what God decided to do. When He poured out His Spirit, out it came. Out it came out of their mouths. Acts 19:6-6. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, they answered, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Into what then were you baptized? Paul asked, the baptism of John. Paul explained John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. All throughout the early church, there was speaking in tongues. If we go to 1 Corinthians 14, and I don't have that to put up on the screen, but if you have your Bible, if you would turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, rather than share with you my experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit or someone else's experience, and then going to the Scriptures, I would rather have the Scriptures speak for themselves. So I would like to just walk down these Scriptures, and I would like the Holy Spirit to minister the truth of His Word to you. I've met too many people who share their experience and then they buttress it with the Word of God. Let's take the Word of God and let it speak for itself this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And it's interesting, verse 2, right there, it says, someone who speaks in tongues is speaking to God. He's speaking to God. Wow! I mean, I can speak to God in my own language, but if the Spirit of God is speaking through me in a tongue to God, wow. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And a couple weeks ago we kind of marched through those three categories and we looked into the Greek of those and some depth. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So the person speaking in tongues speaks to God, and it edifies, that word edify literally means a building. It means a strong structure. It builds you up on the inside. It causes you to be strengthened. It edifies himself. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So Paul is thinking about the church, the congregation, the body itself, and how important that a prophetic word that someone might speak out for edification and exhortation and comfort is something that's going to build up the body more than somebody just speaking out in tongues, unless there is that gift of interpretation of tongues that we read about in the previous chapter. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, even things without life, whether by flute or harp, or when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for the battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. And he is dealing with a church that was out of control. I shared a little bit of this last time, but the Corinthian church had the wildfire of the Holy Spirit. It was a wild and woolly church, and there were all kinds of crazy things going on. And when I say crazy, it was just, there was a lot of expressions of the Holy Spirit and not much order to it. There were people speaking in tongues over here, and then somebody else would start speaking over here, and someone else would prophesy, and while they're before they're finished, somebody else would prophesy over here. It was just a cacophony. There was no order. There was no semblance of order to all of it. And Paul is saying, wait a minute. God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of order. Let's bring some order to this. So that's why he's saying all of this. He's saying, what good is it going to do you to pray in tongues at the top of your lungs in the church building if nobody can understand you? It's not edifying anyone. He's trying to bring some order to the church. And edification, he says in verse 12, is the goal. For even if you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Or in other words, when we read in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of tongues, there's also the interpretation of tongues. And if you've been in a service where you've heard an utterance in tongues come forth, there's usually an interpretation of that so that the body can be edified. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So in other words, then speaking in tongues can be prayer. It can be a prayer language. What is the conclusion? Then I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. Or praying in tongues and praying in your own natural language. Verse 26, I'm going to jump down to. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three each in turn, and let one interpret. And can I say, he's trying to bring order. He's not giving rules. It doesn't mean you may only have two or three people speaking, ever speak in tongues in a church service. That's not it. And he says a similar thing about prophecy on down in verse 31. But then he says, You can all prophesy one by one. He's not putting a number, a specific number on it. He's trying to bring order to the church. If there be no interpreter, verse 28, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Or in other words, everything I needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten. Take turns. Someone person can take a turn, and when they're done, the next person can take a turn. We don't have to butt in on each other, which is kind of what was going on. All kinds of things. They're trying to have communion, and some people are coming early and eating like pigs, and then other people come later, and there's nothing left, and they go home hungry. There was all kinds of disorder in this church. And Paul said, you know what? I'm glad that you're doing these things, but let's have some order to this. And we don't want to squeeze the life out of it, but we need to understand that there's some edification and some order that needs to happen. All for edification, not crazification, if I could say it that way. But suffice to say, and this is where I'm going to draw to a close on speaking in tongues. Verse 39, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Do not forbid it. And we have gone through all of these gifts of the Spirit. We've looked at all nine what we would call distinctly supernatural gifts of the Spirit over these last few weeks. And I'd like to launch into some more gifts of the Spirit that don't necessarily have a distinctly supernatural manifestation, but they are nevertheless gifts of the Spirit. But before we leave, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 12:29, and I don't have that on the screen, but if you have your scriptures, I would encourage you to look at it or jot that reference down. 1 Corinthians 12:29 says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The obvious answer is no. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And up in verse 28, God has appointed these in the church. First, he's appointed apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. But then he says, is everybody all of these? Do we get to, are we Superman and Superwoman, we have all nine, all of these gifts? Of course not. It's a body. It's a body. So when we say do all, I say to the church today, I want to rephrase this just a little bit. Are any apostles? Are any prophets? Are there any teachers? Are there any workers of miracles? Do any have the gifts of healing? Do any speak with tongues? Do any interpret? I hope the answer is yes. There's where we're challenged. Do anybody? Obviously not all. But if we're going to be a New Testament church, God wants his people to move in power. And the normal Christian life sees those manifestations of the Spirit of God. In this day and age, the world needs to see the power in the hand of God. They need to see the character of Christ in believers who walk the walk as well as talk the talk, and then they need to see the hand of God go forward and confirm with signs and wonders. And we're believing God to bring that more and more and more. And with that, I'm going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the beginning of that, lists all of those nine gifts of the Spirit that we've spent time looking at. But I want to begin in verse 12. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to read along, I'm reading from the New King James Version. This is 1 Corinthians 12 And verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, more rather, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, so that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. Paul is making a plea that we need the whole body of Christ. We need the whole body of Christ. And verse 27 says, each of us is a member of that body. That means some of you are a hand. That means some of you are a foot. Some of you are an eye. Some of you are an ear. Some of you are a nose. I had one preacher I heard once say, some people are even your little toe. Some people are the little toe. They're the furniture finder in the middle of the night. But every part of the body is necessary and important. And you are a part of that body. And you have a function that God wants to use in the power of His Spirit. That's you. It's not me. I can't do it. I can do a little bit, but God never intended for the pastor. The old model of the church where the church hires a pastor and the pastor does everything is insane. It's crazy. That's not the body of Christ. That's ridiculous. The pastor, along with the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher, is to equip the saints. It's to help so that they can go out, so you can have the power of God and you can go out and God can use you as the body of Christ. And that's what you are. But every single one of us is different. And every one of us is going to have a different gifting and a different way to do things, a different way to look at things. And some of you are going to bug the heck out of each other because you look different and you act different and you think different and you approach things differently. Thank God. If we all thought the same, oh my gosh, well, yikes. There we are faced in verse 29 with that question again. Are all prophets? Or do all prophesy? Do all work miracles? The answer is no, but I want to challenge you today. What is your fit in the body of Christ? What is your fit? What is your gift? What is the Holy Spirit stirring up inside of you? Ooh, what is the fresh thing that God is speaking to your heart and your spirit for you to be part of the body of Christ? What is it that God is saying to you? Oh, this is way broader than any one church, by the way. I mean, yes, we find much of the expression of this in the local body, But the body of Christ is the Christian body, the whole Christian body that goes out and reaches the world with the gospel. What's your part? Do you know what your part is? Do you know what your part is? Wouldn't it be great if God just came down and revealed it to us all at once and get it over with? That'd be awesome. God just comes down and hands you a list. Here, this is what you're supposed to do. Just tells you, this is your gift. You know, you walk up to the PX and you hold a box, and God sticks this, all the stuff in that you need, and gives you a list. Here, go do that. That'd be great. That would be so easy. And he doesn't do it that way. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, for we know in part. Oh, God, can't you just give us the whole picture? Acts 1:7-8, Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put in, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Woo! That's for sure. And I better turn there. I don't think I put it up on the screen. Oh, I'm ringing. It's not Christmas bells you're hearing. John, did I go away? I think I went away again. John 16, I'm going to look quickly there. John 16, oh, there I am again. John 16, verses 12 through 14 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Oh, can we trust the Holy Spirit if we seek the face of God to reveal it and to make it known as we seek his face? Should we say, God, I want to be used by you and your Spirit. Cannot God do that? Cannot he make that and reveal it to us? I'm going to jump ahead in my notes. I was going to look at some other things, but I read a wonderful testimony this week. It was the testimony of Alpheus Hardy. Alpheus Hardy lived in the early 1800s, and he had a tremendous burden for the gospel, and he wanted to be a minister. In his heart, he had a burning desire to be a minister of Christ. So he went off to be in college to study for the ministry. And while he was there, his health collapsed. I don't know exactly what happened to him, but he got really sick and he couldn't continue. And he was so distraught, he said, my distress was so great, I threw myself flat on the floor. Boom! And he laid on the floor just crying out. He said, I cannot be God's minister. I can't be God's minister. He was so upset that he couldn't be that. He couldn't do it. And as he continued to seek God in his distress, the Lord began to speak to his heart, and he began to have an awareness that there was something else that God was saying. That God was saying he had some business knowledge. There's something else that God might want him to do. And as he began to pray, God revealed to him that he had a gift for business and that he could serve God by making money for God. Making money for God. And he rose from his despair. It says he stood up and he said, I can't go, God, I can be your minister. I can be your minister. And he went out and he started a business. He started a business in trade. He actually amassed some kind of boats for transportation. The guy must have been super gifted in business. But he began to, uh, his his business began to prosper and prosper and prosper, and he started supporting missionaries. And he supported missionaries here and there and everywhere. And history tells us that he through his all of the money he raised in his business, laid the foundation for missionary and Christian work in Japan. Back in that time, there was a season where Christianity was just basically outlawed in Japan. And he through his business and support of missionaries going in, laid the groundwork for all of the missionary work that happened in Japan. He thought he was called to be a minister, and God had given him a gift for business and for giving that revolutionized missions in certain parts of the world. Can God do that? Can you believe what God can do through you? You have tremendous potential. The potential that you have within you to be used by God to do something great. Can you believe him? There was I'll finish with this, with one last story. There was a man who went to visit a church. I can't remember. I wish I could remember exactly where the church was, but it was, the man visited and he met with the pastor. He said, "I'd love to be part of the church. I like what you're doing, but can you explain to me your emphasis of ministry here?" And the pastor said, "Well, we believe that everybody in the body is a minister." And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he began to walk him through, and he introduced him to this person. This person is in our church, and they do da 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 da. They do this. Another person does that. This person does this. God's gifted them with that. And the man said, "Wow, this is like an amazing team." But then in the back, there were two profoundly mentally challenged young men. Profoundly mentally challenged. And so this fellow looked at the pastor and he said, "Well, what about them? What can God do with them?" And the pastor smiled and he said, "Oh, they're the kidneys." He said, "Oh, they're the precious kidneys in the body of Christ. They bring the best and the worst out of people. And God uses them in the body. God uses them in our body to bring everything that needs to come to the top, right to the top. And that's their gift. And we love them for it." Oh, is there anybody that God can't use? Is every life precious? Every life is precious. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be challenged today, Lord, that we are the body of Christ, and it's your desire to use us, Father. You want to fit us in. God, we surrender ourselves just as we heard about Alphaeus, Lord. And Lord, he had one idea for his life, and you had another. God, help us to yield ourselves to your plan. Father, we just bring ourselves, our lives, and all that you've given us, Lord. And Father, some of us feel like, well, we don't have very much. But the scripture teaches that you have given to each person giftings and abilities and callings. And Father, if we would just yield, oh God, what you could do with us. Oh God, help us to lift our faith higher. Take us beyond the realm of unbelief, Father, to where we say, God, if you want me to, I can do it. Oh God, help us, Lord. Help us. I pray that you would move in our hearts by your Spirit, that you would fit us. Father, some of us feel like a square peg trying to go into a round hole. But Father, there's a fit for every person in the kingdom of God. God, I pray you'd help us to find our fit and to be able to step into all that you have. And God, we know that when we yield to you, there is power available in your Spirit to do wonderful things. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to your people. And Lord, whatever season they're in, that you would minister to them and help them lift their faith, help them to believe that you want to use them in the power of the Spirit of God to reach people for Jesus. And it's your business how you do it, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you are here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would love to introduce you to Him. It would be a privilege. We're going to open the altar up. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you would like prayer for that, we invite you. If you have a physical need in your body, we want to pray for you for healing. We believe that God can do it. We've seen God do wonderful things, and we're believing Him for more. If you have a need today, please do not leave without coming for prayer. If not, God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and believe God to use you for something awesome this week. Amen. Believe Him to do something really great in your life. Is He able? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your word. Bless us as we go today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want prayer, please feel free to come forward and someone will pray with you.